greatest father in all the land. Zorn, 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 we sing the praises of Zorn.
Yes, we do.
Yes, we do.
You were conducting.
Yeah, that
you
music
were air
moved
conducting.
Me. Yeah, I was Arthur Fiedlering. Eric Zorn
isn't
is here, everybody.
Isn't that a great song? It's just a great song.
It's a beautiful song.
I love that song. I sing it to myself all week.
Had that song been a song when you got married, wouldn't you think that'd be the appropriate walk down the aisle music?
I think Johanna would have gone for that. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I don't.
Absolutely.
I don't
no,
really
you don't
think so.
So.
Hmm, I
that's
don't.
Strange. Every once in a while, Eric, you compile a bunch of tweets, funny tweets, and you read them out loud, and we all have a chuckle.
Well, I do it once a month.
Yeah.
For the Bill and Wendy, and I do it for the Bill and Wendy show. I want to say this, and I usually do it like the first Monday of the month, but since we're not going to be together next week, because I understand that
the holiday.
You guys are taking a day off.
Yeah.
On
that's
Labor
next
day.
Week already.
Yeah.
A week from today.
Yeah.
Holy yeah. guacamole.
I guess there are no plans around the McInerney-Snyder house
not.
For Labor Day. So that's where we're not going to be is
all
their
right.
house.
I guess not.
So anyway,
let's
I got
do
the,
them today.
I got the test. So I'm going to do them today because I thought, well, we can't wait till the middle of September. That would be absurd.
And again, people just to reiterate, even though you will not credit who said these originally, you usually have a way that people can
No, I'll
out.
Give a link to Kevin.
All right.
And you can go online and see who did it because he would... It's you know, crediting them would ruin the flow
sure.
That I planned
I
very carefully for this.
All right.
In rehearsal. You remember how it went in rehearsal.
It killed
it's
in
gonna,
rehearsal.
It's going right. to go really well
All
now.
Right, good.
So anyway, and you know, this is every week I have a poll, online poll, and this is these are my favorites, not mm-hmm. necessarily reader favorites. These are my favorites. Let's see if you like them. Anyway, open mic night sounded like a lot of fun until I realized I'd been invited to an autopsy. There you go, huh? This is a little dialogue here. Me, I can't wait for the Game of Thrones series finale. Friend, oh, I didn't know you watched Game of Thrones. Me, I don't.
That's a conversation that's been had in every office around town the last couple of weeks.
Oh, I don't watch it. I'm just hoping it's going to be glad it's over. Anyway,
yeah.
Everyone who thought having a CEO president would be a good idea, raise your hand. Okay, now use that hand to punch yourself in the face. This is an observation.
That seems
here.
Violent.
How about
but
this
okay.
one? How about this one? This one I thought would appeal to Bill. I think Curious George has trouble with so many everyday tasks because he's a monkey and people have unrealistic expectations of him.
I love that.
Yeah, of course.
You're like Curious George, you know.
Yeah, I'm similar to Curious George.
Here's a timely one from last week. I took off my shirt when I got home, and my wife put her eclipse glasses back on.
Oh, jeez.
I don't go swimming because it's never been 30 minutes after the last time I ate.
Oh, that's funny.
Okay. All along the watchtower, people squinted and said, I told you we should have built a clock tower. Anyway. I'm sorry I lied, but in my defense, telling the truth would have had consequences, and I hate those.
Very funny.
I like that. Check out this one. I grew up just a stone's throw away from where that whole family died of mysterious head injuries.
Some of these have an almost Charles Adams-y flavor
yeah,
to them, don't they?
Yeah, my tastes run toward those.
Yeah.
Who's Charles
so,
Adams? Sorry.
The Adams family?
He's the originator of the Adams family. Or do you remember, was his name Gayan Wilson?
Yeah, the very,
very,
very
dark cartoonist.
Well,
yeah.
Charles Adams was the cartoonist who did the Adams Family for years, and then they picked up on it to do the TV show and then the movie. So it's this very dark stuff.
And Gayan Wilson is the other guy who always wrote, like, the darkest of dark cartoons. Very morbid.
Yes, well, that runs to my taste.
Yes, and it certainly does.
Number 10 is, I thought my upstairs neighbors were playing a really loud trombone duet. But it turns out I was just two of Charlie Brown's teachers having sex.
That one's awesome.
So that's the top 10 from August.
Very
like
funny.
Like
very,
so
very
anyway.
Funny.
And those will be, I'll give a link to Kevin. You can put it on your Facebook
All
page
right.
and people can find out who wrote those and credit them.
Love it.
Fan letters.
Very
so,
good.
Anyway.
Eric, if you wouldn't mind, let's discuss this Voucher Lite program. First, explain for people who are not aware of what the Voucher Lite program is. Tell them what it is.
Well, what's happened in Springfield right now is to get the compromise on education funding mm-hmm. between Democrats and Republicans, the Democrats have apparently thrown in this idea of a tax credit program where in which you give money to a private school scholarship foundation and you get 75 cents on the dollar tax credit, which means that's money that comes right off your tax bill. In some states, it's a dollar for dollar credit. But what this is, it's sort of a backdoor way around the general prohibition that we have about just using public money to fund private schools. They're using this, and so what happens is, like, if you owe $1,000 to the state and you've given $750 to the scholarship fund for private schools, I'm sorry, if you've given $1,000 to the state, you can write you can get $750 off your tax bill. So it's not a deduction. It's not just a normal charitable deduction. It's a super deduction that you get for doing this. And so this is in place now in 17 states already, a version of this. Now some places it's like 50%, like in Iowa, and I think in Indiana it's 50%. In other states like Georgia, it's 100%. So what happens in Georgia is, and I'm not sure how it's going to work here because they're still hammering this out. The legislature just went into session half an hour ago, and they're going to be hammering this out today. But what happens in Georgia in some places is that you give $1,000, that money comes right off the top of your state tax bill. You don't owe that money, so you're even. But it costs you nothing to do that. But people in Georgia are able to take that $1,000 and claim it as a charitable contribution on their federal income taxes, meaning they actually
save twice.
Yeah. They make money. It's like a risk-free investment. And I wrote about this last week and described it. It's just a scam. Now I'm not sure how the math works out with a 75% cut, but what's happened is that this has been sort of burbling in the background for the last month or two. In these education talks, this is something that Republicans have wanted for a long time. They like vouchers. They like the idea that you would just give tax money to parents and let them spend it on whatever school they want, which sounds like a good idea, except you realize that this is money that's going to go to schools.
Yeah.
Generally. So
you said sorry, and Suri thought she said Suri.
You know what? I think so.
Siri.
I think that's what happened. My Siri started talking.
Fringe with
to me.
The Suri on top.
Anyway, so this idea has been out there, but the objection to it is that, you know, with vouchers, for instance, that you can't just give money to these people to spend on schools, because that takes away money that we would spend on public schools, and then when you drain the money from public schools, the public schools get worse, and this ends up basically privatizing education. That seems to be the goal. You know, certainly Governor Rauner is very hostile to teachers' unions and other forms of public education. So the American Federation of Teachers, the Illinois Federation of Teachers, and things like that have been pushing back pretty strongly just in the last couple of days. But this debate has come kind of out of nowhere from most people. This was not something that was on anybody's radar screen during all these talks about, you know, Senate Bill 1.
Did this all happen accidentally, or did somebody mastermind this to play out this way?
Oh, I don't think it. Well, it didn't happen accidentally, but I don't think it was any of the great chess game being played. I think what happened was that you had this bill, Senate Bill 1 was basically done. It was a bipartisan bill, but driven by Democrats.
Yeah.
State Senator Andy Menar from down in the Springfield area was the guy who's been championing this for a long time. So he comes up with this bill, and it's this long bill with all kinds of, you know, this and that, trying to get education funding, you know, on a proper footing in Illinois. What happens is that the state, according to the Constitution, the state is supposed to have primary responsibility for the funding of public education. But over the years, it's slipped from, you know, in the 40% to the 30% to the 20%. They're not funding education to the level they're supposed to. And what that means is that these wealthier districts do fine because they fund it through property taxes, which is why you suburbanites pay such high property taxes.
Oh, my
taxes.
God, yes.
But what happens is that property-poor neighborhoods have schools that are starving for money because the state hasn't done this. And this has been vexing politicians in Illinois for years, because when you change the formula, some schools win and some schools don't. Some districts win, some districts lose. They worked out this elaborate plan where nobody would lose. It's called hold harmless, where everyone gets the same amount of money, but the poor schools are going to get more. And then Chicago's got this issue with the teacher pensions. It's a very big, complex piece of legislation, lots of moving parts. The governor vetoed it with a really long veto message with a lot of moving parts on it. And so looking for compromise here, what seems to have happened, no one is exactly clear on the details, but what seems to have happened is that the governor and the Republicans have given in on most of the things the Democrats wanted in exchange for this scholarship, this tax credit scholarship program. And so right now we're in a situation where, do the Democrats swallow hard and take this? And it's something that hasn't – it's a big step.
Sure.
Because you're really changing, you know, sort of a fundamental philosophical view on how public education is supposed to work, and saying we're going to put It's a $75 million I think fund is the original thing. So it's not unlimited, and it's going to be sunset after 5 years. And it seems to me that this is going to be the way they're going to come to compromise, because as you've been probably following here, there's a chance that some schools aren't going to open. They're going to open, have to close in a couple weeks because state funding hasn't come through. And this is part of the budget compromise that they had earlier in the year, which was that all the stuff had to be that you had to pass school funding reform in order to get the schools funded. And so right now they're at this moment where they really have to act. And so this is we're going to get this without a lot of debate and a lot of discussion about whether it's the right thing to do.
This reminds me, and we have to take a break, so we'll talk about it after the break, of a political commercial that I keep seeing that has a strange ending that I want to ask you about. That'll come up next. Stick around. It's Bill Leffin and Wendy Snyder, along with Eric Zorn from the Tribune on WGN. Eric Zorn is here. He has also been laser printed. Eric, a quick question. A couple of weeks ago, we had this sweetened beverage tax. Nobody seemed too thrilled with it, but it's been forced upon us. So about a week ago, I saw this commercial for the first time, and I've seen it a dozen times since, almost once or twice a day, where they show you the importance of the sweetened beverage tax, and they say, if your child is drinking just one soft drink per day, one can of pop per day, that equals 10 extra pounds per year. And they're just showing how, from a health standpoint, you know, sugary beverages are the worst thing you could do for your kid. And then at the very end, I see that it's been paid for by Michael Bloomberg, former mayor of New York City. What's in this for Michael Bloomberg? Why would he be paying for this ad?
Well, Bloomberg has been... He's sort of a busybody about stuff like this. Remember, he was the guy who was trying to limit the size of drinks that you could buy in New York City.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And he was also got involved in Robin Kelly's, Congresswoman Robin Kelly's campaign, because he's really in the anti-gun thing. So he was promoting that. So it's not unlike him to get involved in this kind of thing. And he's in favor of this kind of control over sweetened beverages. That I was struck by. And just following up on that, Toni Preckwinkle seems to have said that she reached out to him for some help on this.
Oh, maybe that's the help she reached out for.
And she reached out for that. But I don't – this idea of drinking one can of soda a year gains 10 pounds.
I don't believe that.
I don't think that's how weight gain works exactly. How many calories in a can?
It's calories in, calories out. I mean, really, and exercise, it all matters. One can of soda is probably what – 120 calories?
Right. And everybody,
no, I bet more. It's got to be more.
Right, and of course, everybody's metabolism is different than that. And you don't know if you drink a can of soda, maybe you don't have the cupcake. Or maybe you have them both. I don't know.
Right.
But
in my case,
I would have them both. Yes.
I like Michael Bloomberg a lot. I couldn't figure out why.
150 calories.
Is it 150? Yeah.
I don't know what I said.
You said 120. So we're,
yeah, 150. One can, 12 fluid ounces.
Close.
But I couldn't figure out, and I know he wanted restrictions in New York when he was mayor of New York, but I wouldn't know why he'd want to be active in our situation here in Illinois with this.
Well, I think it's just a cause that he has. He believes in the cause, and if he thinks it's healthy for the people of New York, he thinks it's healthy for the people of Chicago and Cook County, and so he's getting involved. He's a very rich man, and he decided not to run for president a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
If you remember, they talked about him maybe running, and he didn't see a path as an independent candidate because he's a Republican turned Democrat or Democrat turned Republican. I don't know, his party affiliation is kind of vague.
Yeah.
So he's in there, and yeah, his idea is that this is a good thing. And as a matter of public health, it was a good idea to stop to lower people's consumption of sugar beverages. There's no question about that. I mean, really, the question becomes like, what's the mechanism for that, and is this mechanism, you know, is it the proper size, and is it fair? Is it the thing
that
make it work?
Why go after beverages? Why didn't they attack cookies, cakes, candy,
potato chips,
any of that? Why beverages?
Well, my argument would be that you could take a tax like this against, you know, fattening foods or whatever, and spread it out.
Mayonnaise.
So that it's not. No, well, wait a minute. I
love
hold it. Hold it.
You don't want that.
Hold it now.
You
got too far.
The Hellman's tax? Thanks, but no thanks.
I've just changed sides on this. No, I mean, seriously, you could.
Things that aren't of nutritional value could be taxed.
You could generate a sugar tax. You could probably generate, you know, there are ways to do this. It seems like targeting this one particular kind of indulgence. And then taxing it in a very high way. I mean, one of the things that's causing this thing to be so unpopular is that you see it on your receipt. And, you know, you buy a a 2-liter bottle of root beer, and you see on your receipt that you're paying an extra, what, 67 cents or something like that?
Which, for a one-time thing, if you go run to McDonald's and get a Diet Coke, it used to be a dollar, and it's $1.16 now. Big deal. That doesn't break me. But when you're going to have a party or you're getting soda somewhere and you're buying a bunch of cases of it, oh, my God, does that
add
up. Well,
yesterday morning on Rick Pearson's show on WGN, they had someone from the, I think it was the Illinois Retail Merchants Association, was talking about what was going on in the borders, in the Cook County border areas, where people, you know, you live close enough, you can just go across into DuPage or up into Lake County and buy your soda. And so what happens is that people go, well, if I'm going to go, you know, over to Elmhurst to buy soda, I might as well do my grocery shopping there. And this is apparently having a fairly serious impact, especially closer to the borders.
It's less
of an impact the closer you get to downtown, but the closer you are to the border. And so, and the reason is because it is, as Wendy points out, if you're going to be buying a case or having a party, it kind of starts adding up. You think, well, I could save some money here doing this.
Right.
So people are resisting. And I don't know how they're feeling about at restaurants and so on, whether people are ordering.
I talked about it the week it went into effect, how I went to a Mariano's near me, and my drink of choice is almost always club soda. That's what I drink more of than anything. And there was a big sign by the Canada Dry saying, we regret to inform you that because of the sweetened beverage tax, you'll be paying an additional, you know, amount for this. And I can't figure out why club soda would be part of it. It's just water.
It shouldn't
and CO2.
It's wrong. It should not.
Did you call them?
No.
You should have sued them. You should have.
I'm going to sue them.
You should have had a hunger strike. You should have sued. No, you. I mean, seriously, you should not have had to pay that on club soda.
I don't think so.
Although I think tonic water, you do have to pay it on, because tonic.
Because there's quinine in there, and that's
it's well, there's corn syrup.
See, I would drink
quinine. You don't have to pay
quinine tax.
I can't drink club soda because they wouldn't let me into the club.
Oh, you're not in the club?
It's a very high standard.
That's not fair.
You had Zanies this week?
It's the bubbly Eric Zorn. Read him in the Chicago Tribune. It's always a great read. Eric, thank you very much for being here. We'll see you not next week, but in 2 weeks.
In two weeks,
great. More Eric Zorn. We'll take a quick break and then find out what Steve has next on the Wintrust Business Lunch. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.